The Guardian.
I lived in the East End of Glasgow for the first 23 years of my life. I went to school here, and like many others, stayed at home when I went to university. The first politician I cast a vote for was David Marshall, the Labour MP whose resignation on the grounds of ill health has prompted a sudden by-election, one that many suggest Labour could lose, and if so, may spell the dying days of Gordon Brown's premiership. Glasgow East is one of the poorest areas in the UK. 25% of adults here are unemployed, and it is riddled with health problems. Yet its people are very proud of who they are and where they come from. I have come to talk to them about the political roadshow unfolding on their doorstep.
Would you like tea or coffee?
I'd like some coffee, thanks very much.
Coffee, please. Right, yeah, thank you.
I've come here this morning to Mount Vernon Bowling Club to a coffee morning. They have a coffee morning here every week. It costs £1 for a slice of cake and a cup of tea or coffee. And members of the local community, probably mostly retired, come here to chat and exchange pieces of news, gossip, talk about their families, bring their grandkids along, and generally just share some time with each other. Mount Vernon is probably the most affluent area in the East End, so the issues here for the women and men gathered here are probably quite different than those who would possibly attend a coffee morning in Easter House. So we'll go and talk to some.
The by-election, I feel that they're doing a lot of canvassing, but I feel it's far too much in your face, really. I mean, they phone you up and ask you if they can ask you a few questions, and you say you're not willing to discuss your politics with a stranger on the other end of the phone, and they persist. We have four questions, we'll ask you the first one, and when you don't answer it, well, I'll now answer you the fourth one. And when they ask to speak to other adults in the house, and you say no, they have the same view, they don't want to discuss it with a stranger on the other end of the phone, fine, they say, and hang up. 3 nights later, the same person phones back and names the other adults in the house to speak to. They're not listening to you. You feel that they are giving out their opinions and their questions, but they don't listen to your response.
Certainly when I first drove into the constituency yesterday afternoon and came down Bayliston Main Street, I've never seen so many political posters. They seem to be fighting each other for every single lamppost, and it is most definitely a concerted effort in the campaign here. But do you actually now feel as if you've been badgered too much?
I think now that a lot of people are saying who they will not vote for, you know, they maybe have voted for one party over the years, now they know who they are not going to vote for. So I think there is information going out there on what each party is doing, and people are taking more note of that in deciding who they won't vote for. And it's leaving with a dilemma of who will I vote for now? I've voted for such and such for years. But they know now who they definitely won't vote for. And as you see, yeah, it's very visible. So it is, in fact, some of the places you just think, what is going on here? You can't see a lamppost, you can't see a gate into a garage, you know, things like that. I suppose that's the way the party wants to do it, you know. But it is giving people maybe more information and more of who I don't want to vote for because of the information coming from them.
Given that you're not telling me your name, I wondered if you could possibly bear to tell me who it is you're going to vote for then and why.
All right, with the SNP, because I feel that their candidate, over the years of living in the area, seeing the local newspapers and the local newsletters of what he has tried to achieve and what he has achieved, that I think he's a worker. Can you remember your name?
You said to me you don't know who you're going to vote for.
No, because, quite honestly, they all promise you this, that and the next thing, and nothing ever comes out, you know.
And did you feel that at the general election, or were you
really undecided about the whole lot of them, because they really let you down.
And once they get in and they furnish their own pockets, that they promise you the sun, the moon and everything till they get in, and then nothing comes out of it. You're left high and dry. You put in for things. They tell you pensioners should ask for things. You ask for things. They come and they give you a means test. Then they turn around and say, no, you don't qualify for it. You've worked all your life. You paid your tax, your insurances, and you get nothing back. I really don't know what I'm going to do. I might not even bother voting, to tell you the truth, because I think that's how half the country feel, especially in Scotland anyway, I think.
We've just come to the SNP headquarters, which is located in a garage on Bayliston Road. It's actually just round the corner from where my parents live, and we just popped in to say hello, and here's John Mason, the SNP candidate for Glasgow East here, and we want to talk to him just now about the issues in Glasgow East and what they are for people who really do live here.
I mean, a lot of issues relate to money.
and people struggling at the moment, because with the high fuel prices and the high gas, electricity, and therefore food prices, and in fact, really all prices are affected by fuel. And a lot of people are just really struggling with this, and older people who are on a very tight budget, struggling really to make ends meet. So that's probably the main theme. And we certainly feel that there's a lot of money going down south from Scotland, oil money, to Westminster, and the Chancellor's sitting on something like £6,000 million extra than he was budgeting for. And we'd like to see some of that money coming back to Scotland.
You have actually made a great concerted effort in this area, and to be honest with you, I've just been to the bowling club and some of the women there are saying there's far too many people around and far too many people phoning us up asking us how we're going to vote. Yes. But obviously this is a key by-election for yourselves. How important is it, and how many people have you actually put into the area?
Well, I think there's a number of factors in there. I mean, the big plus is that a by-election in the East End of Glasgow focuses a lot of attention on the East End of Glasgow, and that's got to be good. Whatever the result is, people are seeing some of the problems. Politicians are seeing it at first hand. I just wish Gordon Brown and Alistair Darling would come and see it first hand as well. But they're clearly scared to.
So we're standing at the Cottage Bar on Chettleston Road, and we're speaking to
Pat Archer.
So what's your life like here then?
Over the past few years, not so good. My health has deteriorated. I've had a quadruple bypass. Come out of hospital. They have that, which was about 3 years ago. Then I was only out 10 days and I took a stroke, paralysed on one side. I haven't been managed to work since then, so that's it.
One of the things that they do say about the East End is that there are health issues, and particularly for men like yourself of your age, and the sort of, as you are well aware, and you're probably horrified to know the life expectancy of someone like you living here is a lot less than in a lot of other places in the world. I mean, what is it specifically about the East End?
I don't know. It's just the way of life here, I think. I think most people in my age group like their smoke, their drink, and what have you. But I think there's a lot of people now coming down with cancer. I mean, I've had a sister die with it, and my brother-in-law, he died there just in May. My sister died at the end of May. Plus, my friend, he phoned me this morning. He's got cancer.
Your age now?
59.
And the last time you worked was?
Oh, years ago. Years ago.
We're just inside Ladbrokes, the bookmakers. Outside is a congregation of the press waiting for the Labour candidate, Margaret Curran. We've popped inside Ladbrokes to find out what the odds are for the different candidates in the by-election, and Frances is just going to tell us what the odds are.
Labour are 49, SNP 13.8, Conservatives 100-1, and Lib Dems 100-1.
Margaret Curran is just doing a walkabout around Easter House, and she's currently talking to a community policeman about the issues in the area.
One of the things that people are getting upset about is the way these things have been stereotyped during this by-election.
Yeah.
You know, that parts of it, I mean, people know there are problems and there are issues, no one would deny that, but that there's been a lot of development. You know, a lot of the housing development has really changed. A lot of the schools are a lot better. Jobs are a lot better. I mean, far from perfect. And I think people are a bit upset about that.
We're on the Easter House estate in a bit called Kildarmory. Margaret Curran, the Labour candidate, has actually just visited the backs of these houses here. Beside us, some kids have gathered up some old computer terminals and are typing away, playing at offices. And I'm just going to talk to one of the residents here about how he feels about the by-election. Can you tell me your name, please?
Jason Black.
Jason, what age are you?
I'm 32.
Hi, Jason.
And how long have you lived here?
10 years.
And you know who you're going to vote for, is that right?
Yeah. I don't think the SNP are doing very well, you know. I think they really just ran into the office with a crest of a wave. And now that the honeymoon period's over, really, you won't see anything getting done, you know what I mean? A lot of our election pledges were always maybe too high to aim for in the first place, too unrealistic. and I think that we're seeing that now. No different things like council tax was supposed to be abolished, apparently. The oil revenues were supposed to be getting looked at to be used just for Scotland, but these things can't really happen, do you know what I mean? When there's like other conglomerates' interests into them. So it's just, I think Labour's always done better for these parts of Glasgow, you know what I mean?
We're in a pigeon loft in Glasgow's East End, looking at the moment at all the pigeons kept here by
Mr. McConnell.
How many pigeons have we got in here, Matthew?
I think I've got 11 pair, which is obviously 22 birds.
In the East End of Glasgow, we call them ducats, which is actually a dove cot, is that right? And it's because these are actually doves, pigeons, whatever we call them, but in Glasgow we call them doos, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. I think the word dovecot derived many, many years ago from, it was actually classed as a sport of kings, pigeons, and obviously they built what they called a dovecot, and they obviously kept doves and stuff like that, and fantail pigeons. These are actually more kind of, as you can see by the colours and the sizes of them, these are what they class as pouter pigeons.
And I would say that ducats are quite totemic of the East End. They're quite a bit of a symbol of the East End. And why is that? Is it because, why do people in the East End like pigeons so much?
I think originally it was a working man's sport, and obviously as things obviously deteriorated in most parts of Glasgow as far as work was concerned, and obviously the foundries shutting down, like the Clyde Ironworks, the Fords and things like that, and there was quite a lot of unemployment. People took this up as a sport and a pastime. Obviously, due to the lack of obviously fine employment and stuff like that, it gave them an interest, and it's been a sport in the East End for long before I was born.
And how long have you lived in the East End yourself?
Yeah, I was actually born in the East End. I was born in Parkhead, and I've stayed here most of my life.
And we're speaking to you really because there is this by-election that's in the coming days, and I just wondered if you could tell me what you think of that and what you think of the political situation in the East End at the moment.
Well, I'm not really a politically motivated person, to tell you the truth. As long as they don't pull my pigeon loft down, then obviously if somebody wants to vote to keep the pigeon lofts, I'll vote for them. If they don't want to vote to keep the pigeon lofts, then obviously, I'm sorry, I won't vote for them.
But at the moment, there's not a threat to the pigeon lofts, so how are you going to vote?
Well, I think there is a threat to them, because recently there's been talk about them obviously building housing here, so the pigeon lofts will have to be moved. But I think that basically they've been here that long that I think they should delegate a particular area or a place for the pigeon fanciers to have their lofts put, rather than being demolished. And then obviously it's a dying sport now, you know, there's maybe about 30 pigeon fanciers about here, and very shortly I don't think there'll be many. You know what I mean?
And you have decided to vote for who, or are you not willing to tell me?
Well, I've always voted for Labour, if the truth be known, always, all my life. I think it was my upbringing, you know, like my father was a bricklayer. He passed away when he was very, very young, 44 years of age. I've just recently lost my mother, and they've always voted Labour. And I think it's just obviously, it's drummed into you, obviously, for you're a kid. You see your parents doing something, then obviously you follow suit. But basically, that's it.
So there's no chance that you're going to change your mind? Everybody's sort of saying that there's a good chance of people like you moving to the SNP this time, but that's just not going to happen?
I think myself, personally, I don't know, you know, the SNP might be a great thing for this country. I'm not saying that I wouldn't change over. For sure I wouldn't vote Conservative after, obviously, Margaret Thatcher's reign and stuff like that. But Scottish National Party, yeah, I'd consider that, yeah. If obviously they could prove to people that their intentions were good and they were going to do, obviously, good for the East End of Glasgow and other deprived areas.
I'm here with Jonathan Slowey, featherweight amateur boxing champion in Scotland. He's just done a press conference in Tollcross Health Centre with Alex Salmond and the whole SNP bandwagon. It turns out that Jonathan lives across the road from my mum and dad, and in fact we grew up in the same street. He's here because his mother Irene just grabbed me and said hello, Audrey. So I'm just wanting to talk to Jonathan about why he did the press conference with Alex Salmond. He's a very, very young man, and obviously he's not that interested in politics. So Jonathan, why did you do that?
I done it for sport in Scotland, and to see money being pulled into the sport. I believe that a lot of medals can be produced for Scotland in the Commonwealth Games.
But obviously Alex Salmond is the leader of the Scottish National Party. Does that have any significance for you at all?
Scotland, it's a nation, isn't it? We should all be together as a nation.
Well, your mum Irene, who you know, knows me from when I was a child, just told me that you actually just did it to get your picture in the paper. Is that true?
That's a good thing as well for your publicity, isn't it, for the club and for myself.
Good afternoon. I'm here on behalf of Margaret Callan, who's a Labour candidate in the by-election, an old friend of mine, someone I worked with when I was Leader of the House of Commons.
Jeff Hoon, the Labour Chief Whip, has actually just rung the doorbell of my parents' house in Mount Vernon. He's come in to speak to my father, just to sort of gauge how my dad would possibly vote, and they're just having a conversation about that now.
I believe she's absolutely the right candidate for this seat. I think people here will respect the fact that she's from this area, and I think she will do an extremely good job on behalf of the people of this community in the House of Commons.
I can't disagree with you there on her past record. I think she's doing quite well, and I can't disagree with you on that.
What I think is also important about her is that she's got a great personality. I met her, first of all, some years ago, and she made a huge impact. She's made a huge impact in the Scottish Parliament, and I think she's a big figure who will stand up for people in this area when she gets to London.
Yeah. Well, in this area, they're all talking Margaret Curran, and they're quite impressed that she's come out here to do the job for us, so let's hope she does it.
I'm sure she will. I have great confidence in her, and I think she's really transformed Labour's campaign and shows real energy and determination. And if she shows that around here, knocking on doors, meeting people, getting to know even more people than she already knows as a result of her excellent work in the Scottish Parliament, I'm confident she'll make a big impact when she gets to Westminster.
Any betting man, and there are a lot of them here in the East End of Glasgow, will tell you that in spite of there being 9 candidates, this really is a two-horse race between Labour, having held the seat for 50 years, and the Scottish National Party. In the bookies, there's not many putting money on the SNP winning. I'm not sure I would either. This constituency, home of the Red Clydesiders and the place that gave birth to the Independent Labour Party, is still wedded to Labour, and it seems to me will remain so, albeit with a greatly decreased majority, come the end of this by-election.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.